Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on the road.
That's right, folks.
I'm hanging around.
Start spreading news.
Now, isn't that great, though? That's one of the great old-time songs.
Spread the news. Moby Dick, Donald Trump is back on game. All right, we are back on the air. We are the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Thank you, Nick LoCicero, who is on the bridge. Thank you, folks, for being in the audience. I am Christopher Hart. Mike McBath, the chairman of the board, is here today, and you can be a part of the action, too. All you have to do is pick up that phone and give us a call at 407-774-8255. Yes, indeed, both New Yorkers, well, one from there, one adopted there, I guess you might say. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton had huge nights last night. We'll be talking about that tonight. The Go Life of Ladies will be in, Legal Immigrants for America. We got a lot to talk about with them. You know, they while the primary contest was going on in New York yesterday, congressional hearings were being held on some of the violence that illegal aliens are causing in this country. Did you know that there are as many unaccounted for illegal criminals? Now, these aren't illegal aliens. These are illegal aliens who have committed crimes.
Right.
Now, I know they're all criminals once they come here illegally, but I mean even beyond that, who have committed crimes in the United States. There are more of them on the streets than there are the people in the population of the city of Pittsburgh. Unaccounted for out there.
Well, I'm definitely for immigration.
Yeah, right. Legal immigration.
It's called legal, right?
Yeah, we'll be talking about that later on. And, of course, as I said, we'll be talking about the elections. But first, we just want to say and pay our respects to the family of Jerry Green, great sports writer. I don't know, great, but, you know,
He was an institution here in Central Florida. And
for many,
certainly,
many years.
You know, was heavily followed by all sports advocates. And, you know, in essence, he obviously did a very good job to remain in with the paper, what, for 30, 40, whatever the amount of years?
It was longer than that. As a matter of fact, I believe he retired for a while and then came back.
Right.
And Jerry Green passed away today, evidently, at the age of 74. And that's sad news. Writers can write much beyond that. I don't know the circumstances, but we just want to send our condolences out to the family, friends, and fans of Jerry Green. All right. And speaking of sports, we got a big sports story brewing here in Central Florida, right there smack dab in the front of the middle of the front page, above the fold, as they say. Let me go ahead and read the headline. Orlando ready to make run at hosting Pro Bowl.
You know, I got a kick out of that.
Of course, they're talking about the NFL Pro Bowl.
Right. I got a kick out of that because of, you know, having been the president here twice in the NFL Player Association, the retired side, we have great contact with what's going on. And I have a little bit of concern about this. And the
now,
reason,
I thought you would be excited about this.
No, I'm excited.
You have to make one of them long jaunts to Hawaii.
Oh,
again.
I will never, ever, ever go to Hawaii again. Like I say, it was the trip from you know where.
Right.
But I mean, but the real situation on this issue, which concerns me, is the fact that last year the Pro Bowl in some ways seems like a dying duck. And the reason I say that, they're trying to generate more enthusiasm for it. They're not sure when to play it. They play it now the week before the Super Bowl. It used to play after the Super Bowl. What happens is last year on the original 90-some players that were selected, you know, for the two teams, 47 of them backed out.
So now, about half of them showed
about
up.
Half. And their position is filled, and it's filled by obviously good players. But the other problem was that during the game, it sort of turned into touch football in the sense that, you know, a running back would come flying through the line. All of a sudden, somebody just holds on to his hips, and that counts as a tackle. You know, where all of a sudden a receiver would break wide open, which he never would in what I call a real game, touchdown. And I just wonder, and this is my only concern, because I'm certainly a major advocate of sports, is that I noticed that they wanted to take $2.5 million, you know, in taxpayer money.
Right.
And they said, well, it's tourist tax. It's still
right.
taxpayer money.
That's what. Yeah.
And the reality of it is, There's some flaws here. One is the other thing is a lot of people don't realize you pay the players on the winning team $60,000 a player, on the losing team $20,000 a player.
But I thought the NFL paid them that.
Well, I mean, you know, it's coming out of either side, so understand that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's why the NFL wants $2.5 million.
Oh, to be the NFL to be paid $2.5 million. So
they want money.
They
I mean, don't think they just give you the game. They get the NFL gets money, right?
Right, right.
So the point would be is, but if we take tourist tax money, what I would like to know, and if they can answer this correctly, then you know, good luck. Let's do a great job. Is how much did this game make or lose during the last 3 years? I have a suspicion that there were some nice losses associated with this game in the last 3 years. And I can't believe that you would try to lay this on again into the taxpayers' pocket because all of us were finished with April 15th and we are fed up. Fed up. And I speak for millions and millions of people. So if you want to do it, meaning the city and the Citrus Bowl and then all the executives can associate with the NFL people, which I've done many times and been bored, is have a good time. But you know what? If the game turns into a loss, you eat the loss, not the taxpayers.
Right.
So, again, hopefully I'm wrong. I think they can certainly present the evidence, and I think they would be smart if they did because there is going to be people that are going to say, hey, we don't want another tax loss coming into our pocketbook.
Right.
And I think justifiably so after April 15th.
Right, right. Yeah, they used to play the Pro Bowl after the Super Bowl, of course.
So right.
You'd
and
have
then,
people from, I mean, players from the Super Bowl teams
right.
play in the Pro Bowl. And they actually played a little bit of football. They would have the main stars. They would usually play like the first half, and then the second tier guys would come in and finish up the game in the second half.
Right, and then the other thing, Chris, like you're
that's
saying.
That's why I don't watch basketball, the basketball all-star game either, because it's just all they're doing is passing the ball. There's no defense. It's just how many,
right.
you know, and so it's.
And they don't want to get hurt,
no
which is.
You can understand that.
I understand that.
So
I mean,
perhaps then the NFL should think about not even doing a Pro Bowl.
Well, I sometimes wonder, you know, maybe this is the direction they may be thinking because remember, they moved it from after the Super Bowl, now before the Super Bowl. But
right.
what happens by having a week before the Super Bowl, all the players who were in the playoffs
aren't going to be in
the Super Bowl. You got it. They don't want to play.
No.
And then the guys in the Super Bowl, they don't want to play.
Right.
So now, are you really having an all-pro bowl? Granted, the guys playing in it are terrific players. But, I mean, I just think you got to get to a point, fair to the public, you've had three bowl games before this one, you know, that are in the city.
Right.
I wonder because they're not bringing their alumni. When, you know, Michigan plays Florida, you know when you sign
big
that bowl
base.
Game, you got a great fan base.
Right.
But when Johnny Smith comes from East Jabip, is he going to bring much of a fan base? I'm not sure he's going to fill those hotel rooms up. But, you know, hopefully they can answer those questions if they can. 100% behind it.
All right. Speaking of the Pro Bowl, and we have it up as today's poll question. Do you think that the city should pursue the Pro Bowl? Or how was that question worded today, Nick?
I asked, would you like to see the Pro Bowl come to Orlando?
Right.
Yes or no?
All right, yes or no. Do we have any responses?
Just a few. We got this pull up a little bit later in the day, but we are at 100% yes right now, but we only have a few responses in.
All right, well, that was before Mike had his say.
Oh, no, don't misinterpret this. I'm all for them coming here. I just don't want to see taxpayer money to subsidize another sporting event. unless they can prove to me that sporting event made money for the last 3 years.
Right, right. All right, well, the poll question is up now, and if you have downloaded the free WORL-FM-AM app into your smart device, you can participate in that poll question, and we'll give you an update later on in the show and the final tally before we go off the air tonight. And last night, our poll question concerned the primary yesterday, who was going to come in second. And most of you got it right. Wasn't that right, Nick? Wasn't it like 60-something said Kasich would come in second?
Sure did, yeah.
All right, so most of you nailed it. Who thought Trump was going to come in second? I don't know, but maybe that was a lot of wishful thinking.
That was all the Democrats coming.
Yeah, but it was very decisive. It was very decisive for both Trump and, in a way, for Kasich, because the final numbers showed that that Trump obviously won overwhelmingly, 60+%. Some people are calling it 60, some calling it 61 because it was like 60.5%. You know, it depends on how you round it off. 60+% for Trump, 20-something percent for Kasich, and about 14-15% for Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz got beat by double digits by John Kasich.
I mean, one thing which you
that's not good.
Yeah, one thing you reflected on correctly yesterday, and you've done this in the past, is with Cruz, I'm worried that he's going to become another Rubio, you know, in the sense that if he doesn't perform well over the next couple of weeks and he's ending up third, where is his political career going?
Well,
I mean, you really take a suicidal run when you're offered, in essence, you could be the vice president and you badmouth the other individual. All of a sudden, you're going from second to, last place.
Well, I don't think the problem would be with Trump. I think that Trump understands the game. Mm-hmm. He has said this before. He said this, for instance, when Ben Carson endorsed him, and the questions were, how can you guys get together after everything you said about him, Ben Carson, and compared him to a child molester and everything? And Trump just, and both actually, but Trump just shrugged it off, said, "Look, that's politics, and now we can get down to business." And it is. It's different. He understands. I don't know if he thinks about it the way I express it, mm-hmm. but he understands, the same as with Democrats, they understand this professional wrestling angle of politics, if you will. It's when I use that analogy, what I'm actually talking about is a particular kind of psychology that comes into play. And he understands that particular kind of psychology, and the psychology is you batter and you beat down your opponents, but when it's over, you offer them a hand up. You see, it's the psychology that he understands better, evidently, than these other yokels, right? And the psychology is got it right now, once again, on his side. And he's not only got the momentum, but he's developing this psychology that the system is all screwed up and screwy, and it is.
But you know what? That's exploding voters for him. By him constantly harping on this, the public is fed up about this delicate play.
He understands the psychology that's at play here, mm-hmm. you see. And he's tuned in, he's dialed in, he understands how this game, if you will, is played. And so, having said all that, I'm sure that if Cruz were in some way, shape, or form to come offer, come to him with his hat in his hand, as it were, say, "Look, this was, a primary, we both wanted it, you got it, I'm here for you, if you need me." Trump would be cool with it. Trump is not going to hold grudges. What Trump holds grudges on, from what I've read and what I've heard and seen, is when people betray him, when people double cross him. You see, Cruz hasn't double crossed him. They're in a pitched battle for the highest office in on the planet, right? So obviously it's going to be intense. Trump understands this. Now the question is, does Cruz, or has Cruz made it so totally personal? Has he so totally personalized
this thing that he can't get over
that?
Right.
That's the question here. Trump, be fine. All right. Of course, it's much easier if you're on the top of the ticket to be fine about things. But nonetheless, Cruz has said some pretty harsh things about Trump that he would have to be okay with. And now, once again, I think he would be, because at the end of the day, it would be a matter of now we get down to business.
Now, do you think if Cruz could live with this, that his voters are going to follow him?
Maybe not all. Maybe not all, but most of them would.
Do you think more of them would follow him than Bernie's people would follow, criminal Hillary or whatever we call it?
I think the problem Hillary has with Bernie's people is that most of his followers are young folks who their voting record is very spotty to begin with. Right. I mean, they really have to be excited to come out and vote, like they did for Obama.
Right.
Okay, but that was sort of an aberration. Can she carry that over? I kind of doubt it. But the problem for the Republicans in, for instance, states like New York, and by the way, Carl Jackson pointed this out on Fox 35 this morning. He was styling and profiling
again. Right.
Man,
yeah.
I like the shirts this guy picks out.
He's really a smooth dude.
He is. he pointed out, and we talked about this earlier, Mike and I, that as bad as Trump smoked the Republicans, between the three of them, actually four, because Carson got some votes and actually beat Cruz in Westchester County for third place.
That is really funny, yeah, but it's very discouraging.
Fourth place in that one county. Yeah. Anyway, we'll have to see who lives in that county. But
embarrassing.
But all of their votes together didn't amount to what either Hillary or Bernie got, much less the two of them together. Mm-hmm. All right, so there are some serious numbers troubles in New York, regardless of who the Republican nominee is. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll go over some exit polling numbers out of New York last night.
Got some contests coming up, too, right?
Yeah, we got some contests coming up we'll be talking about. And, of course, you're invited to participate in these here contests, always, because that's the way we do things at the American Adversaries Radio
Big prizes.
Network. You got it.
Another one of the great ones, right? New York, New York, and this. Yeah. Oh, I listen to the show just for the music.
I tell you what, I have to say, I'm playing that one to toast us tonight.
Welcome
back, folks, to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show, where I just want to do just a little bragging, a little boasting. So please indulge me for a moment. I want to congratulate Mike McBath, because you actually brought up on the show yesterday the possibility of Trump getting 60% last night.
60 plus.
I mean,
you just see the momentum. I mean, you can just, I'm telling you, people are animals. You can read the animals. And, I'm excited about it. And I think he's going to do very well, obviously, because in the next few states, I mean, there's going to be some stumbling blocks, which we'll discuss, a bit later.
But, and then when it came down to the delegates, I estimated that he would get between 85 and 90, I guessed. Between 85 and 90.
You were on the money?
He pulled in 91. And 91 is an excellent night for Donald Trump. It was huge in the victory. I'll go over just real quickly some poll numbers. We got a caller on the line. I want to take the call. But he won across all demographics, including the women's vote amongst Republicans. Once again, this was a closed primary. But this is where he's supposed to be weak. This is both amongst women and in closed primaries. Now, it is his home state. But he just blew all the numbers out the door. But the exit polling numbers that I found most interesting were, first of all, when they were asked, if you want change, who did you prefer? So people who wanted change preferred Trump, 62%. Then Kasich, 18%. And this is the odd thing I thought.
It's a terrible drop-off, though.
Well, and 13% for Cruz.
Yeah, I mean, it's a blowout.
He's supposed to be a change candidate.
Yeah, he's right.
And he spent a lot of time today, emphasizing that he is an outsider.
yeah, after he sold the poll.
yeah. And then the Republicans were asked, who do you think can beat Hillary Clinton? Trump, 56%. Kasich, 22. Cruz, 15. Now, once again, these are New York numbers, but like I say, these are, to me, the most interesting numbers. And will you support the leading vote getter? 72% said yes. 68% said if it comes to, you know, Trump not having all the delegates, the person with the most votes should get the nomination. 28% said the delegates should decide it. So those are some pretty interesting poll numbers.
I'm even surprised 28% would say the delegates should provide it unless they were the delegates.
Well, and
not 28%.
I would assume that 28% was obviously, or at least my presumption is, that they were Kasich and Cruz supporters, All right. Okay, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll take John's phone call and yours, too, if you decide to call us at 407-774-8255. Remember, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time, where it's no longer a... All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's what we like to do, pile drive baloney. I am Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. 407-774-8255 is the number. We're going over a few numbers out of New York last night, but we have a caller on the line who's been patiently waiting, so let's go to John before we get rolling back into things. John, thank you for calling tonight.
Nobody loves
loser. Hey, John, don't give up the daytime job.
Hey, I want to tell you, I've been talking to a lot of my friends. I grew up in Southern California.
Right.
The psychology is going to swing in Trump's favor now. And the reason is that nobody likes a loser.
Yeah.
And talking to, I would say, I talked to a dozen people this afternoon, and they're all pretty, I would say, pretty politically astute. And now some of them were kind of like sitting on the fence, and some were saying, oh, we're going to go for Cruz, you know. And well, many of them actually wanted Rubio because half of those people are Hispanic. But anyway, aside from that,
right?
It's like, okay, they say that Trump's probably going to take everything in the Northeast.
Easily.
And I would say that my friends, they all said, you know, at that point, it's the jig is up, and basically, we're just going to get behind Trump. And they see that that would probably be the most facilitous way to circumvent any kind of a contested convention there.
Yeah,
and I think they tend to be pragmatic about all of this. So I think that's what's going to happen. I think people are just going to realize that. Why should I go and cast a vote for someone who I know really doesn't have much of a chance? And if anything, it's just going to cause disruption in the Republican Party.
Well, I think you got a point. I think the big Mo is definitely back on Trump's side. And don't let anybody fool you. Last night was a huge night for Trump. You know, people say, well, he was supposed to, it was his home state. But he won his home state so big, so decisively. And so he has regained the momentum. He will carry it through next week where the five states, he's almost over 50% in all of those states, 20 points or more ahead of his opponents in all of those states. And he's on a roll, and he is going to continue to roll, and that will pick up momentum. And the problem for Cruz is now sort of the cat's out of the bag. In other words, everybody knows what his strategy is. And as good as it is, it's best when people aren't paying attention to his strategy, which his strategy is kind of to come behind when all the hoopla is passed and sort of clean up. And so when the hoopla is still on you, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for him now to do what he's been effective at doing. Plus, the conventions and, the caucus states are done, I believe. Now it's all primary states, so it'll be more difficult for him to do that.
The other thing, John, you probably have seen Trump on TV when he does his, speeches to the crowds and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And you notice how enthusiastic the people are up to now. Imagine how fired up these people are, because I know the day I went out and I work out at RDV and I walk in, I mean, it was the people were lit up that were Trumpligans.
Yeah.
And you can, and you're right, Chris. The momentum, I believe, is just going to build like a snowball.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to make it through, so we don't have to go through this hell, you know, with all these delegates.
I think he's going to go into the convention. If he doesn't have the 1237, which is a very distinct possibility now that he will, and it will be no question about it, he'll be close enough that he can pick up a few of these stragglers, these quote-unquote unbound delegates, and it'll put him over the top. Plus, I believe you're going to start to see more and more people like Peter King, congressman from New York, who just a few weeks ago was, you know, he was not,
yeah,
I believe he
wasn't sure.
He wasn't a never-Trumper, but he was definitely down on Trump. Well, now he's okay with it, right? Giuliani, who was sort of holding back, has come out now and fully endorsed. I think that the momentum is not just going to be amongst the people like us, but also amongst politicians in Washington, D.C. They're going to be able to, they're going to want to get on the train. They're going to get on the winning train. And by the way, real quick, I believe that this winning train will easily roll through the general election. People are assuming that Hillary's this tough candidate. She's a pretty good candidate after all. But her problem is Barack Obama. And health care, all right, the big news about United Healthcare getting out of the healthcare business, Obamacare is going to be a yoke around her neck she will not be able to get away with. Illegal immigration, crooked Hillary. The world is going to come down on the Democrats this fall if Donald Trump is the nominee. But can you imagine either Cruz or Kasich calling Hillary crooked Hillary? I can't imagine it. He will unleash the lions of you know where, the dogs of you know the hounds of you know
the
where.
Dogs of war.
You got it on her, and I'm going to be excited to see it. And as people begin to realize that and begin to perceive that he does have this mojo, they will get on the gravy train. Anyway, one last comment, John. Then I got to let you go because I've got another call.
Yeah, I was going to say, and at this point, this is the fulcrum, and. Trump is now going to go from hard sell to the smooth sell.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And he's going to woo all those people that have been prejudging him, and we're going to see a real change here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't want to say predicted it, but I sort of called for it going on 3 weeks ago now this Friday when I said what he's been doing in wrestling terminology is he's been playing the heel, sort of the tough guy, the mean guy, don't mess with me type guy. And now he's going to be more of the baby face, the good guy, the guy all the girls like, and that sort of thing, right? And
I believe that. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a taste of it last night. Everybody's talking about it. Did you notice how he called Ted Cruz Senator Cruz and not Lion Ted or even just Ted?
That was sort of ironic, him doing that. I had to laugh.
No, it wasn't ironic.
I mean,
it was this transition that I was saying. Watch for this to happen because, once again, Trump understands this wrestling psychology that plays well in the political world. Okay, thank you, John. Appreciate
You're
the call.
You're welcome, guys.
Excellent call. Appreciate
like we
it.
We talked about the other day, though. I think the one thing that will finish Hillary off, I will take Trump any day in a bet, you know, against Hillary. The reason is, we talked about this, she is loaded in so many moral flaws. Trump has, you know, maybe has some personality quirks. We can correct that. But when you're the dredge of society
right.
in the sense of your moral code, you're not going to win.
That's why.
And he'll be able to take her down just feeding on that.
That's why I think that label, Crooked Hillary,
I love
is
it too. I
ingenious.
Think it's funny as can be.
It is so ingenious.
Yep.
And that
it's a great
is,
summary.
People will no longer know her as Hillary.
Yeah,
they'll
just,
know her as Crooked Hillary.
Yeah.
The nicknames like that stick.
All and right. isn't it great when you respond to a Democrat? How's Crooked Hillary doing?
I know.
They don't know what to say, you know.
All right, let's see what John has to say. Another John. Thank you for calling,
this
John.
This is Big John.
Thanks, John, for calling.
John from Ocklawaha.
All right. Hey, John from Ocklawaha.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to say that I've listened to some other talk show hosts, and they keep saying, well, you know, he's playing by the rules, and this is fair, and that's the way it is. And I'm like, I don't think they're asking the right question. I don't care if it's fair. I care if it's an honest game, and I don't think it is. I think that the delegates out there in Colorado, the ones that were for Trump, they didn't even know the rules. So apparently the rules can change so often that if you don't keep track, They're going to switch them on you, and then you're going to get caught, and that's it. It's almost like the, you know, guys in the Senate going in the back room and making laws against us.
Right.
And we don't find out until we're arrested.
This is, once again, and stay on the line with me here, John, because I want to converse with you. This is one reason, another reason why I say politics like professional wrestling, because we see the show that goes on in the ring while the real decisions are made behind the curtain, right? And that's what's been going on here. Yeah, what you said about Colorado reminded me. I believe it was the Iowa caucuses. When they were going off, I was watching, and a reporter was in there, in one of the rooms where the caucuses was going on, and the committee woman came over, and he started asking her some questions. And she's at a certain point, she kind of started laughing. She says, look, we could stand here, and I could try to, explain to you how things are going on here, but it's so complicated that you wouldn't understand, and your audience wouldn't understand, and they would probably tune out. And the guy just kind of laughed and went on. I mean, but that's exactly what you're talking about. See, and this is why it doesn't work for Cruz to say, I'm just playing by the rules, because the rules are so convoluted and screwed up. It's like the rules are cheating for you. And that's the way people are seeing this. That's the way Trump is playing it, is that we're being played for suckers, not by Cruz, but by the rules. And therefore, by proxy, by Cruz. So I understand exactly where you're coming from, John. And we have been saying that on this show. And no, I haven't heard it anywhere else myself either.
Chris, the other thing, too,
you guys are it.
This may be another growth industry. Think about this. UCF could give out in political science a PhD in the research of delegates, right? I mean,
just about.
Really, look at Pennsylvania coming up.
I should think about going back and writing my thesis. That's all I need to get my master's. Hey, John, would you stay on the line? Are you a new caller, by the way?
No, I've called once before.
Have you gotten a bottle of Roxy Pacifics from us?
No, I haven't. It sounds like a wonderful product.
Well, stay on the line. You're going to get one. You're going to get one soon, if you will. Give us your.
I was going to say, I got one more point. If you got time,
we got time for one more.
Okay. Well, the other thing is that I've been ripped off before by people, and they always were dressed nice. They had white teeth. They looked nice. They said nice things. They smelled nice. They were just beautiful people.
Yeah.
And nobody like Trump has ever ripped me off. But these beautiful people that, you know, have all these wonderful, beautiful sayings are the ones who do it all.
Yeah, that's right.
It reminds me of the normal politician, where they want to look beautiful, sound beautiful, and do all this beautiful stuff, and then behind your back, We're getting killed.
Yeah, they're sticking a dagger in it. Yep. You're absolutely right again, John. Hey, thank you for calling tonight. I appreciate you being out there. And once again, stay on the line so Nick can get that info from you.
Now, how far is John from here? About 50 miles, 60 miles?
Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know I passed there a number of times. Now, I haven't stopped. But I'm glad John's listening.
Yeah, but he makes
some
excellent points.
No, he makes a lot of sense. And it's very understandable what the issue is there.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is... You know, I was going through the channels this afternoon listening to Prager and some others, and on one of the others shows for a moment, I heard a guy call in, and it was L. Rush Fuzzbo. Mm-hmm. And the guy was essentially saying the same thing. And you know, Fuzzbo has been going to extraordinary lengths to explain how the process works and how it is according to the rules and all that. That's the problem. Is that it is according to the rules. It's not that it's breaking the rules. It's that it is according to the rules, and people don't like the rules, not one bit. So it doesn't do you any good to say I'm, you know, abiding by that which people don't like to begin with. You know, get away from that. But see, now, unfortunately, Cruz has got himself boxed in.
Yep.
Because he was saying, oh, you know, the party's unified. He's still saying it. That somehow, after coming in third last night and fourth in one county, that somehow the party is unifying behind him. These are the things that politicians say near the end. Okay, like Marco Rubio was telling us somehow he was going to win Florida.
Right.
And
right.
Even if he didn't, he was going to stay in this, even if he had to drive, get in his pickup truck and drive across America. Well, where is he today in that old pickup truck?
They're working at one of Trump's establishments in South Florida.
He's probably, you know, no. So, you know, when you start to hear things that don't match at all with reality, you begin to wonder then, is this candidate in his, and Cruz is not. He's still got a lot of fight left in him, but he's not acting like it.
Chris,
and to say that Trump is running scared after last night, I think he should be the one who need to be running scared. Because like we've said on the show, he needs to start thinking about the distinct possibility, even though it may be slight as it is, he might lose. And what's life going to be like then, Mr. Cruz?
All right. We'll be back for contest time coming
That's
up.
That's right. We'll
I'm
be
fired
back
up.
With contest rules right after this short break.
Take a little break, and let's get our people some opportunity.
Yes, sir. We'll be right back. All right. That's right, folks. Welcome back to the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, where if you got health care out there, unless you're very wealthy, you are in the danger zone because United Healthcare is now pulling out of the Obamacare network, and they are the biggest of the providers, and they're just one of the latest to go. And you've been talking
Chris,
about this recently. By the way, before we get away from this New York thing too far, last night, I don't remember if we were talking about on the air. I know we were talking about off the air. You were talking about how, you know, we have all this suspense, and then right up 2 minutes after,
we go 2 weeks with all this great suspense. People are all pumped up. The results come in, and how long did it take to get the answer, Chris?
Well, you were wrong. It did not take. It wasn't 2 minutes. It was about 10 seconds.
I know. I said, watch how boring this is going to be. We waited 2 weeks, and it's over at 1 second, right?
As soon as it turned 9 o'clock,
I couldn't even believe it. You would think they'd try to extend it a little to keep listeners paying attention.
Well, they tried to keep the suspense over the delegates and how many delegates he would pick up. But
once they announced it, Chris, I switched to that show, Animal House, that was on.
That is Mike McBath. I'm Christopher Hart, and now in the studio with us is Aubrey Kahn, the host of the Talk to the Experts radio show, live every Saturday here at 1 o'clock. All right, and let's see.
Contests?
Yeah, real quick before we get to the contest, I want to make a quick announcement. A fellow who had been a part of our show on a regular basis had to take a sabbatical for a while.
Yeah, John.
And he is going to be back. And I know we have gotten a number of new listeners since John has been on the show. But John L. Casey will be on the show next week. And, oh, heck, okay, I'll go ahead and tell you why he hasn't been on the show. He's been on the lam from the Justice Department for daring to doubt the global warming theory.
No, I hope that's not true. I mean, well, don't tell me that. No.
It's not exactly
no,
true.
No, I mean, I could see that, this. That's what concerns
that
me.
We'll be talking about with John L. Casey when he's back on the
show. Oh, I'm going to think they're going to shut us down any moment now.
I spoke with him today, and he'll be joining us once again starting next Tuesday. And he's a regular on the show, and he's our scientist. He's our go-to guy. He was a NASA scientist, a NASA consultant, White House consultant on space policy, and written a book called Dark Winter, which explains how the solar cycles are more in control of our weather than we'll ever be, and that they are the solar cycles is what is causing global warming and now what will be global cooling. So, John L. Casey, welcome back to the show, and he'll be joining us once again on Tuesday. All right, and we got some contests coming up. Tomorrow is Thursday, contest night, and you've got another doozy. Wait a minute, because I was thinking about one of our contests today when I heard about the new $20 bill. Did you hear about the new 20?
It's going to have I did.
They're going to replace Andrew Jackson with
right. Tubman is going to be in there. Tubby Tubman.
Who is this now?
Tubman.
Harriet Tubman. Right. And she was an abolitionist, and she was involved with the Underground Railroad. And she is she's black, and she's going to be on the $20 bill.
And she's not a president.
And
somebody
right.
told me she was a Republican.
Yeah, she is a Republican, which was really sort of interesting that Lou would approve a Republican to go on to the bill.
Well, I think the Republican is the lesser of the two evils.
The
thing is that she was an abolitionist, and she's black.
Well, that's
yeah, I mean,
she's
probably
a
trying to meet everybody's criteria.
And she's a woman. Remember,
she's a woman.
To the
right?
Treasury Department
right.
considering putting a woman on a $10 bill, and that's when we had a contest. Remember we had a contest
right.
who you would put on a $10 bill?
Right,
remember
but
that one?
They're going to change that, too. They're going to be putting a series of other
Yeah, they're going to do $5 bills.
Right. They're going to be putting historic right. black people on the yeah. ten.
But the other question is, and I thought about this to be fair, who are we going to put on as the gay on a bill? No, I mean, this should be all the discussion,
Obama.
Right?
Barack
and I was
going to
say, right, once he gets out of office and we get a track record on the guy, then we'll probably add him on the front of the $2 bill.
That, or you'd like to see Michael Sands
Bruce,
on
and
there,
and then
right?
Bruce Jenner on a $3
yeah.
bill.
So, well, I mean, I guess we got our future lineup.
I wonder if the reason they started with the 20, though, is because Andrew Jackson and the Cherokees. You know, Cherokee Indians, a lot of Cherokees will not accept or handle $20 bills.
Well,
because Andrew Jackson's on there
really?
And the Trail of Tears. He's the one who took their land away. Contrary to a Supreme Court decision,
right.
he said they made the decision, now let them enforce it. He ran the Cherokees off their land and marched them, the Trail of Tears, out to Oklahoma.
One question, though, Chris. If the Cherokee Indians never had immigration, they'd still be king here. So there's a point there for immigration.
There
it's just
go.
We progressed so
See,
far,
allowed,
but somewhere we
got to
close the door. The
they
door shall be closed.
They didn't have a border. All right, a
know.
Contest. Tomorrow
but, yeah.
night's contest.
All right. Tomorrow night, as we all know, about 2 days ago, they came out in the media. It was assumed that about 6% of the media or less, is my opinion, could
right.
be trusted.
Yeah, that's what the
and
poll
so
said.
This is should be a great contest to go whack the media people you don't like. The reality of it is choose the media national personality that you believe is the least trustworthy of the ones that you know and listen to. My two choices are, one is Candy, I call her Candy Cowley, you know, Crowley.
Ooh,
I think she destroyed, in essence, Romney's run, I don't want to ever see that woman anywhere. You know, she can go just eat five meals a day, as far as I'm concerned. I've seen enough of her. Actually, there's
well,
so much of her.
I see a lot of her. Right. Five meals a day.
But my other one is Al Army Flat Top Sharpton.
You know, actually watch them?
No, I don't, because I can't even watch 1 minute
yeah,
when I see these people.
I thought part of the rules was that it's someone that you watch.
Well, I mean, I watch with great distaste.
So why Al Sharpton?
Well, Al Sharpton, anybody that owes the American people $4.5 million in taxes, he shouldn't be on any show. So that's my two. Chris, don't you have one?
I'll give it out later, but that'll be tomorrow. That'll be tomorrow's contest, all right? And so you're all invited to participate in that contest.
Now, we got a quick eating contest, too.
And you are invited to participate in our taco eating contest.
Yummy.
This will be on May the 5th, commonly known as Cinco de Mayo Day. And we'll be doing this at the Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs at the intersection of 434 and Tuscaloosa Boulevard.
That's a great store, too.
Of course, yeah, you're all invited to come out. And if you want to compete, just call the show here. You know the number, or listen in the next hour. You'll hear us repeat it again. You can tell Nick LoCicero, give him your information. And we'll see if we can get you into contest. There'll be a taco eating contest. It'll be a lot of fun. And, of course, you're all invited. And we'll be just the beginning of the fun that night. It'll be live entertainment.
I know we have a band coming, right?
Yeah.
Right at the
close.
Comprised
of members of the Winter Springs Police Department. So it's going to be a lot of fun and a great way to come out and enjoy an evening with some great law enforcement community folks and the American Adversaries.
That police department has a mariachi band?
I don't think that's what they play.
I wonder if they were going to dress. You know,
I think it's a little bit more like Jimi Hendrix or something like that.
Oh, okay.
All right. So
these could be eating contests are absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
Maybe we'll have Nick lead the whole song on, you know, and just sing along. Isn't that the greatest song?
You guys are going to have to quit dancing on the table, though, and come back, sit back down so we can do a show here.
We're also, all of us are Trumplicans. We got four Trumplicans here. They are pumped up to go.
So. All right. Well, welcome back to the show, folks. We hope you're pumped up to go for the rest of this hour with the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we come to you live once again on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. Thanks for staying with us, or if you're just tuning in, thank you for doing that as well. We really appreciate you being out there. 407-774-8255 is the phone number. And this is Wednesday, so we have the great folks from Legal Immigrants for America in the studio once again with us. And once again, you can visit them and join LIFA by going to golifa.com, G-O-L-I-F-A.com. But once again, I want to welcome the founder, Amapola Hansberger. Amapola?
Well, it's wonderful to be here. Good to see you, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. And Brunhilde Bruni is also with us.
Great to be in studio again.
Yeah, well, it's great to see you gals again. And, of course, you folks can all be a part of and find out what's going on the illegal immigrant front and legal immigration as well. There's a lot of problems with that as well. But it's a great organization, and there's no cost to join, but once again, it is a nonprofit organization, so it does exist on donations. So if you could help them out, don't send money to the politicians. Support groups like LIFA, Legal Immigrants for America.
We are the only voice that exists for the legal immigrant, and even illegals contact us. I had an interesting phone call from a person who came through the border at 10 years. The mother wanted the coyotes to bring her over the border, and instead she ended up as a sex slave for 11 years. And she finally escaped with a bullet in her head. And thank God someone picked her up and took her to Arizona, where she was in rehab, and today she's an American, and she wants everyone to know that it is so dangerous for people to be coming through the border.
Yeah.
And one question is, how many, do you have any idea at all how many legal immigrants are here in Orlando, Central Florida?
No, I don't, but I know at one time it was a number that was greater than the illegals, and that was before the Obama administration.
So you think it's tipped shortly to the other side, and we certainly don't have a count on that, do we?
If we count the Europeans as well as all of the Latin Americans that have come and the Asian, we are more numerous than them even today, but we are the people that work hard.
Yeah, you're talking about the legal, you know,
the legal immigrants.
Pay taxes.
That's part of the problem, is because of the lax enforcement of both of our legal and both people who come here legally and overstay their visas, and the fact is, people who come here illegally, there's no way to know how many there are or where they are, and that's part of the problem. I want to get to that here in just a minute. But I want to remind you folks that you can listen to us on your app, on your smart device. If you download the free WORL-FM-AM app, and we are running today's poll question. It has to do with, should the Orlando Pursuit, would you like to see the NFL Pro Bowl come to Orlando, even if it costs a couple of million dollars? So, Nick, if you could give us an update on our app, please, where are we at so far?
We're right at 50-50 now.
My little speech had an effect. I mean, we were talking about that. I mean, you know, the city wants to spend taxpayer money, I think, to the tune of $2.5 million. And I'm all for athletic events, but I'm not for going into the public's pocket. So we'll see. And again, a Pro Bowl, a lot of fun. Unfortunately, last year, 47 of the fellows that were picked for it never showed up for the game. They chose to stand outside, and they had other substitutes who were very good. But this will be... this will be an issue. I think it's a tax issue. We got to just stop taking money from the American people. If the Citrus Bowl in the city wants to do it, I'm 100% behind them, but lose your money. Don't lose the taxpayers' money.
Let Teresa Jacobs and Buddy Dyer.
They can invest in it. They got plenty of money. Let them invest in it.
They can make $1 million.
They'll make big money, like arena football. They'll make a ton of money.
That's right. All right, so that is the poll question for today, and we'll give you the final results later
on. That's funny, though. It's 50-50 now.
Real quick, Nick, what will you guys be doing tonight?
Is Nick's- there's just too much to mention now. There was a lot of previews at Walt Disney World over the past couple days. We have a lot of attraction opening dates, attraction previews and everything, and we'll bring it all to you tonight on the WDW News Tonight from 9 to 11 over at 1520 WBZW or online at WDWNT.com. And, a ton of news. Lots going on at Walt Disney World.
Like Epcot being frozen over or something like that?
Oh, yeah, we have Frozen, lots of Animal Kingdom news.
All right, sounds like a lot of fun. All right. Okay, that's tonight, 9 o'clock, 1520 WBZW. All right, yesterday, while the primary was going on in New York, real quick, were you satisfied with the primary results?
Oh, my goodness. Outstanding.
I think she was, Chris. You know, I got that feeling.
Yes. Well, he's our gold medalist, and Ted Cruz is, of course, our silver medalist.
Yeah.
But we want to see a Republican in the White House come November.
Oh, absolutely. And especially a Republican, be it Trump or Cruz, who wants to do something about this mass illegal, immigration into this country.
He knows how to build walls.
He does know how to do that, that's for sure. Well, while all that was going on in New York, yesterday there was testimony in Congress about illegal immigration and some of the crimes that are being committed in this country by illegal immigrants.
All the time.
And one of the women who testified, we actually saw at the Trump rally. She spoke there at UCF about her son, Jared.
Yes.
I believe the son's name was
Josh.
You have the story there? Bruni will give us the details on that story. But Trey Gowdy pointed out at the committee hearing yesterday that there are more illegal criminals, and I don't mean just criminals because they're here illegally. I mean,
illegal immigrants
who have committed crimes while in this country. There are more of them on the loose that we know that they're out there but don't know where they are than there are people in Pittsburgh. In other words, the population of Pittsburgh is outnumbered by these illegals.
I mean, is that just, it's incomprehensible.
That's
it's
hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. It's a war that we, the people, have to fight.
Indeed, and the story of Joshua. Just tell the story real quick.
The woman is Laura Wilkerson.
Yes,
and her Josh. He was tortured and killed.
Speak into the mic.
He was tortured and killed by an illegal who basically just kind of, it was kind of in a masochistic way.
Yeah,
slowly.
He kidnapped the kid, tortured him.
So
I believe burned him. When they found him, he was in a hog-tied state.
Yeah.
And it was brutal. He tortured the kid. It's not he just didn't murder him. He tortured him. And this was an illegal who should have been out of the country.
Right. Like Trey Gowdy said yesterday, illegal immigration is not a victimless crime.
Hardly.
No, not at all.
And also what he stressed is the Obama administration just loves to stress how deportations tear families apart. You know, now, mind you, those are illegal families, but while he completely ignores the travesty of American families being devastated due to crimes committed by these illegals.
But that's because he doesn't know that the laws in Mexico, if you go and you're pregnant and you have a baby in Mexico, they tell you, take your baby home to wherever. And when the baby's 18 years of age, he can come with his birth certificate and claim his Mexican residency.
How old was this boy?
I think he was 18 or 19.
Yeah, he was just out of high school. Yeah. I remember she told the story at the Trump rally.
Chris,
she told the story at the Trump rally.
Right.
Okay? And he was just out of high school, the poor kid was.
Another woman that testified yesterday, too, in front of Trey Gowdy's committee was also the mother of Sarah Root, 21-year-old, who was killed by an illegal drunk driver.
Yeah.
And she was saying that, you know, her daughter, he was let out on $5,000 bail, which was less than it what it cost her to bury her daughter.
You have people who are harmed and or killed by illegals on purpose because they're committing acts of crime. And then you also have people who are harmed or killed by illegals who are just an accident. Then like this, like Mike.
Yeah. Just yesterday they announced there was a drunken illegal three times over. He ran over a man walking down a highway in Nebraska who was a family man. And then after looking this fellow's background up, they found out, which is no surprise to us, right? He had no insurance. He had no license. He had been deported. And guess what? He came back again.
Right.
And that's where I do believe when they come back and re-enter illegally, that should be 5 years in a big house. You will stop it if we start doing this stuff. But obviously Obama doesn't want to prevent him from coming back.
You see, one of the arguments against, like, Trump says, I'm going to deport all these illegals. Oh, you can't do that. Why, you can't do – Barack Obama himself has deported over 7 million illegals. The problem is they turn around and come right back. We can deport them. The problem is not deporting them. The problem is they come right back. You have to have a wall and a secure border so that when we do deport them, they don't come right back.
And if Barack Hussein Obama deported them, they were probably Republicans.
Yeah, right. He found out their voting record.
All right. Let's take Mary's phone call, and then we'll take a break after the phone call. Mary, you're up on the line. Appreciate you being out there. Thanks for calling.
Hi, everybody. My name is Marianella. I am a native of Venezuela. I came to America 20 years ago. I entered into the country legally, and I went through a legal process to become a resident and a citizen. I support LIFA, I support legal immigration, and I support the wall, because I have come to realize that the corrupt politicians have twisted the system for their political gain and changed the way it was intended to be. And we now see the negative effect of the new system. I am sorry this is happening in America. I love America. I love one nation under God.
Yes.
I love you guys. Well, Thank you for what you're doing. And keep doing this. We have to take the country back.
Mary,
it's being destroyed.
Mary,
I'm so sorry.
Let me ask you a question before you go. Are you alone in this fight other than with LIFA, or do you have family members who are with you in this?
I'm alone.
You are alone out there.
Well, my husband is American, but he does not want to, I mean, he hesitates.
I understand.
To be part of it.
Right.
And, you know, it's hard for me to bring him on board. Because, you know, he's working, he's tired, he comes home, he goes back to work. But because I'm from another country, in my country, my native Venezuela, my country has been destroyed from within. Yeah. I can understand, I can see it. And, I try to tell people, but people is too ignorant. People don't want to listen. People is not paying attention. So I feel like I'm alone in this battle.
Well, you're not alone.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, you guys, meaning that, my family is not with me.
Yeah. Well, that's why.
Although my husband loves his country, but I guess because lack of, information, he lacks of,
he's
blurring of legal.
He's busy all the time, and I'm the one at home and researching and learning and getting informed, and, because I love America. I don't want to see America going, it's falling apart. But I don't want this nation to get destroyed.
Well, we appreciate it.
No. Yeah, we share history because Nicaragua also went communist. And the Nicaraguans that came, love the United States and want to save it. If we unite, I think there is hope. And I think we are the hope because we have our eyes open, and Obama is not fooling us, and the left is not fooling us. We see the signs.
You know, the other thing.
Thank you, Mary.
Yeah.
If you'll stay on the line and give your information to Nick, I'd like to send you some Roxy Pacifics. It's a great product. You can use it for any skin ailment. It's just really great stuff. You can find it by folks at skinfix.us.
Yeah. Just another thing, too, that always seems to drift from the argument that is a major part is, again, this national debt that we're accumulating. I mean, soon our national debt payments will be the third largest payment in the country. And the reality is all these people in the United States who are so for immigration, you know what? You're going to see your Social Security cut. You're going to see your teachers cut in the schools. You're going to see your food stamp cuts. But these people better realize the direct ramifications of this, which they don't.
I was thinking about this this morning.
Their children will inherit.
Like you have statistics, and I don't have the card in front of me, but it's billions of dollars every year that we're paying for social services, billions more for incarceration services.
Deportation.
Right. So here's how we can speed up the process of deportation. Illegals no longer get health care. Right. They no longer get food stamps. They no longer get education for their kids. See how long it will take them to get out of this country on their own. And why should we be paying for illegals to continue their illegal activities? It's like paying a burglar to continue to go down the street and burgle houses. I mean, it's insanity is what it is.
Chris, they can return home to Mexico and work for Ford or Carrier.
That's Nabisco.
And they'll get a pension.
We got to take a break. When we come back, once again, you'll be listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. And we'll remind you of tomorrow night's contest rules, so please stay with us.
Money, 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 money. Money, 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 money.
All right, if you want to be in the money tomorrow night, you will get your contest entry ready. Mike, tell them the rules again.
All right, Chris, we're both fired up on this one. What it is, I think we're all aware that we're not in love with the media. And it was announced the other day that only 6% of the public trust the media, which is way above the number I thought it would be. But what we're doing is tomorrow night, we're going to ask you to come up with your two people in the media that you think are probably the most distrustful that there are out there. And certainly there's many to choose from. My two were very simply, one is Candy Cowley. Oh, that's right. It's Crowley. And she's the wonderful babe that destroyed Romney. And, you know, this is a woman I will never forget, and she shouldn't be allowed to appear on any show. The other one is Al Army Flat Top Sharpton. We all know Al, right? He only owes, what, $4.5 million to the American public?
Oh, about
Do you
that.
Think he should be out there giving his prognostication on anything? They're my two, so I'm waiting, Chris, to hear yours.
All right, I'll give you mine
But
tomorrow.
We're going to have some fun, and there's going to be some big prizes. So.
All right. Well, what about Chris Matthews?
Oh, he's in there. There's plenty of them are going to come flying through the door, and there's plenty of reasons not to like them.
That's for tomorrow night.
He'll need new pants. So
maybe Megyn Kelly.
Megyn Kelly might be in there, too.
Right,
so.
Look at that. Listen to him.
It's going to be exciting.
Part of the problem is that the establishment, and I mean both parties, are not interested in protecting the border, are they?
No, they're not. They're more interested in saving their established ways and staying there forever than they are about the American people.
And I came across a very good article today by Michelle Malkin about the northern border as opposed to the southern border. And, you know, now that we have Justin Trudeau in Canada, you know, and the refugee resettlement program, it's causing problems for the U.S. in the long run because these people are probably going to go from north to south.
Right.
And even Canadian agents have admitted that the screening procedures are inadequate and generally sloppy. The Montana the Border Patrol is so understaffed that they have 100 private citizen ranchers actually patrolling the border. Do you know how long the border is?
In Montana?
The northern border.
It's like 3,000 or 4,000 miles, isn't it?
More than that. It's 5,500 miles.
Right. It's much longer than the southern border.
Exactly. Yeah, which is only like the Mexican border is only like around 2,000 miles.
Right.
And we have 21,000 Border Patrol agents in the nation, and only 2,100 are assigned to the northern border. However, only 30 agents are on guard at any one time.
That's great.
So imagine that.
Very comforting, isn't it, Chris?
That's one about every, what, couple hundred miles.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Now, do you travel by horse or you do?
up there, it's more like dog sled.
It's snowmobile.
Yeah, that's right. But hold on to that because I want to pick this up on the other side because, the southern border is only really half the problem. All right, that's our man B. Brian Blair. He'll be joining us Friday during Friday's show. By the way, real quick, Colonel Danny McKnight will be on the show with us tomorrow night. He'll help us judge the contest entries.
Oh, he'll enjoy that, and I'm sure he has some favors he would like to put into the contest.
So. He and Rick Brown as well. Yeah. All right, I am Christopher Hart, along with Mike McBath. We have the folks from Legal Immigrants for America with us, the founder, Amapola Hansberger.
Hello.
And one of the board members, Brunhilde. Hey. And turns out we also have a member in the form of Aubrey Kahn. Kahn! All right. And, of course, Aubrey is here from South Africa, came here legally. Real quick, Aubrey, how long did it take you to get your citizenship when you came here from South Africa? He's got to get a microphone here.
Well, it took me 5 years to get my green card. So only after I got my green card did I immigrate. That was number one. And
so
then
you had to wait 5 years in South Africa.
I worked
just to get
for 5 years with lawyers getting my green card when I was in South Africa. The person that offered me a job is someone that some of the audience might remember, a guy by the name of Burt Bacharach.
Oh, yes.
That's one of my McBath's old buddy from Jersey Shore. Up
that's
there.
Exactly right. No, right. He was great.
He wanted me to come run his kitchens in the hotel he has up on in Long Island, the East Norwich Inn.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, long story short, it took me over 10 years to get my citizenship because I was not going to be a burden on the state, and I have never had WIC. Food stamps, no welfare ever. I refuse to be a burden on the country that has accepted me and welcomed me with open arms.
In fact, it's quite the opposite with Aubrey. He's a very generous man. He doesn't like to talk about it, but he is. He supports a lot of great organizations here, and he's a sponsor of the American Adversaries radio show and a successful businessman. He's been great for America. Came here legally.
And he pays a lot of taxes. I love it, Aubrey.
I pay as little as I can.
You're a loophole guy?
I'm a capitalist.
Before we get to the story that we left off at, it's typical, though, isn't it, for Amapola, that legal immigrants are the ones who seem to be most concerned about illegal immigration.
Absolutely. When I came to the United States of America, I had to sign on my last interview, that I would not be a burden to the American taxpayer. And then they had me swear that I was not a communist. And look at who's running today.
Oh, that is really funny.
Pretty soon you'll have to swear you are a communist to get into this country.
Now you do.
Oh, my Lord. But we were talking that the southern border is part of the problem. And Trump's pointed this out a couple of times during the campaign, that the northern border is going to be maybe the more complicated problem. And that's where you were
right,
going.
Exactly, the article by Michelle Malkin. Another item she pointed out is the so-called gotaways.
The what's?
Gotaways.
What are gotaways?
They are people, things that are registered on via cameras, motion sensors, where they know people have crossed the border. But they pretty much ignore it because they don't have the manpower to follow up on it.
So, in other words, we have electronic surveillance on the border, and we see things coming across,
right?
But don't have the manpower.
It's just bunny rabbits.
You're right. So they're like watching television.
Yeah.
Well, you got to get into the mic.
It's not just that we don't have the manpower.
We don't have the
willpower.
We don't have the willpower, and our president, bless his darling heart, has told them not to arrest illegals coming over the border.
True. They are to stand down, and that's what the border patrols have said. They have to stand out.
But these blips on the screens and, on the equipment
the
gotaways, yes. Michelle was saying that they have spiked 100% between 2011 and 2013 on the Mexican border. And a lot of this data is hushed up. It's just like kind of, oh, you know, we lost the feed. It's just kind of gone.
Well, sure, they don't want they don't want the public to know that they can see people coming across the border illegally and not do anything about it. And but it, once again, it's not so much obviously technological. It's not something that can't be done physically speaking. It's something that's not getting done because, and it gets back to you were talking about, the powers that be don't want to do it.
Because they benefit from it. They get cheap labor. The elites live in gated communities. They have bodyguards. Their children go to private schools. They never see the problems that happen out there with the illegal criminals killing people.
And then, of course, you have the Democratic Party who benefits from all these
more voters,
votes,
which is
the permanent voting block.
And then one thing I always got a kick out of, up around Buffalo, they had shown all these illegal immigrants crossing the frozen lakes during the winter, and there was no interference, and just cross the lake, and no one's going to bother you. I mean, just terrible.
But to reward
and you
them,
just wonder how many bad people are sitting in all our cities, you know, waiting for that call.
Well, and do you remember what Castro did? All right. He shipped all of the people in prison across here.
You're talking about the Mariel boat lift,
right?
Yeah.
You think Mexico's not doing a similar thing?
Oh, sure.
Of course they are.
Yeah, and once again, this is something that Trump has pointed out. But it's a problem that can be solved, and it just takes the willpower to do it. And that's the bottom
deport
line.
Deport Obama.
We could start,
there's a lot of votes right here, I can tell you that.
We could definitely start with him.
Well, if they had spent as much money trying to prevent Obama from reaching the White House as they are spending trying to prevent Donald Trump to becoming the nominee, we would have had Mitt Romney in the White House.
I tell you what, especially these conservative hacks who are all out against Trump because they don't like him. It's definitely become a personal thing with a lot of them. There's no question about that. You know, one thing that concerns me, though, is that the American public is gullible and very compassionate, right? So these arguments that, oh, you can't break up families, or, oh, these poor folks, you know, they're just coming here to get away from bad circumstances elsewhere, that these arguments do tend to resonate.
Right, but they're also, unfortunately, very uninformed. And they don't make this additional leap in thinking about, well, you know, resources are limited. They're not unlimited. So if they're going towards the illegals, they're going to not be going towards maybe some other programs, like inner city programs, you know,
Social
infrastructure
security,
programs,
Medicare,
whatever it may be. Yes.
Help the veterans and to help our disabled, our senior citizens.
Right. Yeah. And now, once again, folks, LIFA is an organization that you are welcome to join. It's real easy to do. Just go to golifa.com. That's Legal Immigrants for America, golifa.com. Or you can text LIFA, L-I-F-A, to 53445. That way you'll get updates and bulletins, and you'll be in the loop, so to speak. And it is a nonprofit organization, so they exist on donations, and they'd really appreciate your help. That's golifa.com or text LIFA to 53445 and get informed. Like the lady who called earlier, Mary, you know, she feels like she's out there all by herself. And that's one reason why.
We need to unite.
And that's why you formed Legal Immigrants for America,
exactly.
Right? Because you and you know people who are here legally and nobody has given you a voice.
Right. Yeah. No one would represent us.
Politicians,
the media or politicians would never touch this subject.
Till Trump came along, no one even wanted really to talk about it.
No.
I mean, talk show hosts like us, we would, but I'm talking about in terms of politicians, in terms of having it in the political debate.
Well, our friends in Tennessee.
You know, what about in Tennessee?
Yeah, just like yesterday, there was news that Tennessee has decided to sue the feds over the refugee plan. Mm-hmm. You know, this is over the unconstitutional refugee resettlement.
Yes.
And this is what's going on. They had a lot of them dumped in Tennessee. And Tennessee said, wait a second, you know, we're fed up with this. We're not going to pay for this. And now that we're going to take you to court. But the other thing they pointed out, which is really, again, this is the BS that comes out of Washington. They were pointing out that, remember we were told that they would vet these refugees for 2 years?
How
oh, guess
they?
What? It's dropped now down to 3 months. And soon How it'll probably they? Be 3 days.
I was going to say 3
Isn't
weeks.
That
or three
I know, because it'll soon be 3 days. Is this disgusting? Yeah. There's no vetting. It's just come on in, we'll give you what you want, and hopefully none of you are...
do you have do you have any information on that Tennessee
thing? No, only that it's going to be on the grounds, you know, of the 10th Amendment.
The states
rights.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, because this sets up a fight, because normally the federal government would have authority in this matter. And as a matter of fact, that's the authority that's being used to plant these refugees in various communities around the country, including the state of Florida. There have
everywhere.
Been some who,
yeah, right. Everywhere.
Yeah, and it's I hate to say it, but it's like planting crabgrass.
They don't ask the governors either.
No, that's what I mean, and this is why Tennessee is suing, because the federal government is doing this without telling the states anything.
They just show up.
Not just exactly.
Right. Right.
They just show up in the communities, and then of course it's up to the state to provide certain. Benefits to them, exactly.
Education, all these things are
exact. Food stamps, you name it. A lot of these people are coming here. They're illiterate, even in their own lands,
right.
Much less here in the United States of America.
Right.
But let's take a look at where they're planted. Do you think they're planted in Democrat strongholds?
Never.
All right. The whole idea is to destroy conservatism, so that the Democrats, the liberals, the socialists can rule and reign and take over the country. Little do they realize that once they've done that, Sharia law is going to take over the country.
Yeah, indeed. And that's the problem they're having in Europe, right, Bruni?
Yeah, we haven't talked about Europe at all today.
Well, give us the latest. Give us the latest.
Because, I have all kinds of tidbits.
And just to get back to my story about the sympathy, you know, they've made it more difficult now to go from Turkey up through, go to Syria, to Turkey, and then work their way up through
to
Europe.
Greece, yeah.
So
to
now,
Greece
and now the big news today is a overloaded boat sank in the Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm. Possibly 500 people perished.
Right.
Yes.
Which I'm very sad and sorry about that, but it doesn't mean Europe should open its borders to an influx of these folks. It's just a sad situation. Anyway,
right,
go ahead.
Right. I mean, they're... so many things I could talk about. I was just reading, because I perused the German sites, you know, and there was an article about there is probably an impending poverty crisis that's going to be hitting Germany. But they said it's not going to be based on the immigration numbers, but on an insufficient social safety net.
So they brought all these immigrants in who are going to overload the social system.
Right. So it's going to affect the German citizens, too. But instead of really looking at what the cause is, you know, why it is happening, it's an insufficient social safety net. And I don't know if you remember the numbers that Europe actually supplies 50% of all the welfare in the world. All global welfare that's going to people, 50% of it is happening in Europe. So and they still consider that. Exactly.
Well, Germany is one of those. As far as I'm concerned, they can have 100% of the social welfare.
Yeah.
Right.
But, they could be number one.
Yeah.
But talking about some other, you know, cultural issues, something that didn't come up a couple of weeks ago is that you may have come across that yourself. It was a 14, 15-year-old Muslim brothers in Switzerland. They refused to shake their teacher's hand because she is a woman.
Female.
She's a female. And the Swiss are quite split about this, and you know, a lot of them are very irked about it.
These were Muslim boys.
These are Muslim boys. They're from Syria.
Women,
they're,
right.
Their daddy's actually an imam.
Is that
so
right?
Yes, but you know, my attitude is when in Rome, you do as the Romans do.
Right. Well,
and you know, nobody's asking them to give blood or to consume a strychnine-laced cookie. You know, it's just shaking somebody's hand who's actually helping them, furthering their education. And, you know, just imagine what their attitudes are going to be 5 or 10 years down the road.
Now, were these refugees and this was their first time in this school?
You know, it wasn't their first time in
this
school.
That's what I thought.
It looks like
these kids were already in that school. They had already been participating, evidently, in such practices.
Right, and the school had solved it in the manner in that they said, okay, these kids can just walk in, and so they don't have to shake anybody's hand, male or female. They can just say, hello, teacher.
Right.
Whereas all the other students shake the teacher. teacher's hands. Right there, you already have that separation,
right,
you know, that makes
right.
them special.
Right, right. Yeah, and that was the whole purpose. That was the whole purpose.
Right, see,
and,
exactly.
And that's, they don't come here to accommodate themselves to our ways.
Right.
They come here to make us accommodate them to their ways.
Right.
And that's what's wrong about it.
Right. And this is not asking them, you know, like bloodletting or anything like that. It's just a simple gesture.
But this is the Islamic culture. It's to overtake the population by immigration, by breeding.
Right.
And then to enforce their will on the other country until the other country collapses.
Right.
This is all... That's what it's all about.
That's what they do.
They use the democratic
laws. You guys speak into the mic.
Use the democratic laws of those societies actually against them. You know,
society,
they push them
yes.
as far as they
right.
can go.
Yeah, that's why I said it's like planting, when we're planting these refugees around, it's like planting crabgrass. You put in a little sprig of crabgrass, next thing you know, it's taken over your whole lawn, right? All right, we got to take a break. We got to take a break, but we'll pick this conversation up on the other side. Once again, please join LIFA by going to golifa.com or text LIFA to 53445. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Another beautiful afternoon here in Central Florida. Thank you for spending part of it with us, the American Adversaries. Christopher Hart, Mike McBath here, along with Amapola Hansberger and Bruni, and, of course, our very own Aubrey Kahn. And Legal Immigrants for America is what we're all about here today. And we were talking about what's been going on in Europe, they've welcomed, these aren't illegal immigrants over there. These are refugees who, to some extent, were welcomed into Europe, correct?
Right. Mama Merkel invited them.
Especially a Mama Merkel, that's right.
Yeah.
But there is an experience. Now, you were at the prayer march this past Sunday, right?
Yes, we were.
Downtown.
It was really interesting.
And one of the speakers had a very interesting story that perhaps all Americans should hear, especially pastors and priests who are taking money from the government to help resettle some of these refugees. Could you tell us a little about it?
Yes. This man had to flee Egypt. His grandfather was a pastor that had welcomed a lot of Muslims into the country, into his area, his town, and helped them find housing and et cetera. And so the grandfather passed away, and the grandson is now fleeing for his life. They burned the church, and they killed some people at the church that received them.
In other words, the welcome that they got, they answered with burning the church down.
Yes, and
right.
killing
like
some
the
people.
Snake story.
Yeah,
exactly. Trump talks about.
Yeah,
take
yeah.
the snake
what,
in.
What you might want to keep in mind too is Egypt used to be 100% Christian.
Christian,
and
yeah.
is only now 12% now anymore. Yes,
yeah, and
yeah.
it has
they
taken a dramatic drop over the last like 10 or 20 years. All right, we have another caller on the line, Alan. Thank you for calling tonight.
Yes, hello. How you guys doing?
Thank you. Appreciate it. We're doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing okay, actually. I'm kind of just wondering a little bit about, how people, how their mood is with all this going on. And are people really hopeful for change? And do people really see change? I mean, I really see this immigration problem escalating so far out of control that it's almost unstoppable, in my opinion, as I look forward. I don't want to be fearful or doubtful in any way, but the way people are getting into the country, it's like I almost want to say that I don't want anybody else to come to the country.
You're join the 68%, right?
So join the crowd, my friend. Hey, listen, I understand your apprehension and your anxiety. Believe me, we all feel it to some extent. But I think that things are a-changing. And, yes, we can do this. We can solve this problem. We just have to get people in the political offices who are determined to solve the problem. And that's why I believe it's very important that we get Trump and or Cruz elected, because they would deal with this problem. As Amapola says, Trump's the gold medal guy when it comes to illegal immigration, but Cruz is a silver medal guy. It just is a matter of having the political will and determination to do it. We know that we can deport these folks. It's just a matter of not allowing them to return over and over again into the country. And then it's a matter of not allowing people to come here legally and overstay their visas and become illegal.
Right.
It is a solvable problem. As Pola was saying, it's simply because the establishment on both sides of the aisle, this is both Democrats and Republicans for their own reasons, have not had the political will to do it. And this is another reason, as she also said during the break, why they want to stop Donald Trump, because they know he does have the political will to do it. So it's kind of the ball's in our court right now. We did our part here in Florida. We'll see what happens in the rest of the nation. But we need to get one of these guys in the White House so that we would have somebody with the political will to pull the trigger on this.
And we legal immigrants have to have a voice. We cannot have Luis Gutierrez of Illinois be representing us. Luis Gutierrez, the Democrat representative of Illinois, is so much for the illegal immigrants, and he has historically been speaking for us because we were silent. Well, we are silent no more. We have to speak up and say, no, you do not represent us, Latin Americans that came here legally or seeking refuge after Sandinista war or Cuban war.
All right. Hey, Alan, I'm short on time, so I'm going to have to let you go, but I want you to call back and we'll discuss this more. But,
okay, thanks for letting me call, and I appreciate
anytime.
The time. And good fighting.
Chris,
right.
I wonder
Thank
what these,
you so much. Appreciate you being out there,
What
Alan.
Your ladies think about the Supreme Court case coming up.
They argued it the other day.
I know, and I don't like what the feedback, at least how I interpret it, but now I don't.
It looks like it may come out to be a tie.
I hope it's a tie.
Which it wouldn't be so bad, because the lower court against Obama would stand. The problem is John Roberts tends to want to have a sort of decisive decision in cases like this. So
John Roberts' answer on Obamacare has come to fruition. And John Roberts, you did a horrendous job. I mean, what this guy did to us, and again, we'll get more into that later another time.
All right, real quick before we go off the air, though, let's get our final poll tally. Do you think the Pro Bowl, the NFL Pro Bowl, should come to Orlando? Nick LoCicero, what do the numbers show?
Final results show 65% yes, with 35% no.
All right. See, you should have made your argument again.
Well, maybe we'll revisit it. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Nick. All right. Once again, we'll have another poll question up tomorrow. And once again, you can be a member of LIFA, and all you have to do is to go to GoLifa.com or text LIFA to 53445. And it's a great organization. And people who didn't have a voice before are getting one now through organizations like LIFA. And you don't have to be, you can be here legally, illegally, or born here and be a red-blooded American, and you can all still join this organization, right?
Right. You get to be in a studio, in a radio studio, and talk to the people.
That's right.
And we have something in common. We love the United States.
Indeed, indeed. All right.
Chris, it's great to have these women, isn't it? I mean, out there.
Thank you.
Everywhere.
So much fun.
That's
terrific.
All right. Don't forget our contest tomorrow. Who do you think is the most untrustworthy media talking head type
person?
Now,
you girls are going to have to call in on that one. There's
a
great selection for you, Bruni.
All right. Okay. And don't forget, Colonel Danny McKnight will be on the show with us tomorrow, and John L. Casey will make his return appearance starting next Tuesday. Aubrey Kahn, thank you for being here. Bruni,
always a pleasure.
Hildy?
Always fun.
All right. Once again, that's golifa.com, golifa.com, or text LIFA to 53.